Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Agatha Padovani, and you would know her as I Film Yoga on Instagram, and she has a company that basically does photography for yoga and videography for yoga places around the country and around the world. And the first time I met Agatha, it was actually in Mysore, and I was releasing my book. You remember this, right?
Yeah,
I was releasing my book, and I kind of needed like a trailer to kind of put it all out there. And she came up with this beautiful masterpiece of, you know, that showed emotion and showed my children and showed like really everything that was encapsulated in the book, and you did an amazing job on it.
Thank you so much.
But that was our first time meeting, and so I'm excited to sit down and talk with her about, like, you know, where her travels and where her yoga is like kind of taken her. And so, you know, we're back in Mysore, and we're here. I'm here for a month. I think you're here for two, right? And so
we have only met in Mysore.
Yeah, I've tried to get her to come to Ohio, but she won't come. It's too cold.
I will.
But so we're sitting down and we're talking a little bit about yoga. And so I feel like everyone wants to get to know the person behind the camera. You know, I mentioned this before we started the recording or whatever, but, you know, you take such beautiful pictures, you know, whether it's of Kino or whether it's of, you know, Laruga or whoever it is. You take beautiful pictures, and I feel like everyone wants to know this person who takes these photos, or at least maybe I want to know this person behind the camera. And so let's talk a little bit about you. Where are you from?
I'm from Corsica. It's a little island in the south of France that used to be Italian and now it's French. And it's a very, very small place. So from very young, I wanted to travel and go.
Get off the island?
Yeah. It's a great place to be from, but you need to go discover the world.
Yeah. I mean, how small is small?
The little village I come from, I have 12 people who live there. I will show you a picture later.
Oh my, 12.
It's like, it's not even called a village, it's called an amo. And you need 5 amo minimum to do a zip code.
Really? That's really small. And so how'd you get off the island?
So I always wanted to be in the film business. So I was like, what is the best place in the world to do that? Los Angeles. So I moved to California. I live in San Diego, and I used to travel to LA for commercial shoots who were 2-3 days. I used to work for Disney Channel, E! Entertainment, ESPN. I did that for 10 years in Hollywood, Burbank.
Wow.
It was really cool, really exciting.
Yeah, that is
big
exciting.
Big shoot where you have a very small job, very precise, and you wait all day to do what you have to do. I mean, it's like a work teamwork coming together.
And so was, photography and film, was that really your passion from like...
From the beginning.
What was the beginning?
I'm like a filmmaker.
Okay.
And photography came after because I got hired on jobs where people were like, oh, we're going to need pictures too. And I'm like, oh, I am not a photographer. I'm just a filmmaker. And then so I found another guy to take the pictures and I'm like, I think I can do that.
You're paying someone else to do stuff that you don't need.
And then I met Kino, and then it was like a revelation because I was like, oh my god, I can combine my two passions, filming and yoga, and I can also with that give great message to the world and maybe convince more people to practice. That was like, ta-da, okay, this is what I want to do.
Wow.
And then, so
did you transition away from, like, you know, LA and move somewhere else?
Little by little, I started to do more yoga stuff. Whatever was coming to me, I took. There is one of my first teachers in San Diego, Natasha Terran,
okay,
who needed videos. And so I learned how to edit for her videos.
Yeah.
And then I met Kino, who like love taking pictures. And then, so that was wonderful. And then she asked me to move to Miami to really just do that.
Wow.
And so I'm like, okay.
I met Natasha here.
Oh, you met Natasha. You know her. She's awesome.
She's powerhouse too. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I met her here. I think we went on some day trip together.
If I'm practicing Ashtanga yoga today, it's because of her.
Really?
I saw her. I took one class with her, and I was like, wow, I want to do this.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. And so like I went to talk to her after class, and I'm like, how often do you practice? To which that level? She's like, every day. I'm like, okay, she's nuts. Every day she does this. Okay, like, and here I am now. I'm practicing every day.
Yeah. And so you're crazy like her.
I guess so.
Yeah, I met her. She's a beautiful, beautiful person inside and out. And she's from Venezuela or yes. something like that. Mm-hmm. And we had a day trip, and I met her in Mysore too. So small world.
She's really cool. She told me how to be more difficult in what I choose to eat. She also told me to be more aware of the words I use. Apparently, I used to use the word hate a lot, just without really thinking about it. But if I think about it, I don't hate that many things or that many people, yeah. you know? And so, like, things like that, she's like, you use that word a lot. That's not a good word.
Yeah.
You know? And so she had a really strong impact on me. And she's the one who brought me to Tim Miller the first time.
Yeah. And you lived in San Diego or Encinitas for a while, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
And is Tim your first teacher? Or Natasha maybe your first teacher?
Natasha and Tim. Yeah. Because really quickly I was at the Ashtanga Yoga Center and then I practiced with both of them on a regular basis.
Wow. And so let's talk a little bit about like your first yoga class. Like what was your experience with yoga? I mean, did they do it on the small little island that you came from?
No. Yeah.
You learned it in the United States?
In San Diego. Mm. I used to date this personal trainer. And I remember I was like, hey, baby, I would like to do some yoga. Do you know a good class? And he's like, well, at the gym where I work, there is this woman who does free yoga. I'm like, I don't want free yoga. I want a good yoga. But there was Natasha. And he was like, she's good. Go check it out. And that's how I started.
Oh, wow. And so the first class you walked in was an Ashtanga yoga class.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
A primary series. I was like, wow.
I know.
What happened?
How'd you make it through that?
I don't know. I remember I was wearing like a long sweatpants, like really baggy. It was not appropriate at all. Natasha was like, okay, you're going to need to buy me some new clothes.
Right. Yeah, some tighter pants and tighter fitting shirt. And so what was your experience with it? Like, so I know it was hard, or it sounds like it was hard, but what was your experience like? I mean, did you have...
It's like love at first sight. I knew that really? Was for me. Like I told you, I saw Natasha's practice because she demonstrated a few things.
Yeah.
And I was totally seduced by the control of the body. Like, I was like, I believe that you can feel more alive if you're more present in your body like that. And that was the number one thing that...
And that made you come back.
Hooked me. Yeah.
And so from that first class, did you practice every single day after that?
She told me that I used to party a little bit at that time.
I think you told me this.
And then she told me that the only thing I had to do to make it work, it was to show up. And I was like, it's okay. I can party and do yoga the next day, no problem. It's going to be maybe difficult, but... And little by little, I just build my work life and everything around the practice, because I realized that the days where I was not practicing, I was like, I don't feel so good today. Oh, but I didn't practice this morning.
Yeah.
That's where that happened. And so I start to get addicted to that good feeling after practice effect.
Yeah. And so what about, what was the Agatha before? I mean, you said you were partying or whatever. But I mean, did you feel good in your body? Did you feel like you were healthy before you walked into yoga?
I was like, up until I was 25, I could eat anything I want without gaining weight, or like, no idea, I could eat pizza 3 times in a row, no problem. And so it was not really a problem for me, because I could outdrink a lot of my guys' friends without a hangover the next day.
Wow.
And I guess just when I started yoga, it's when it was starting. I was like 28 when that happened. So that was like when the next day was like,
Yeah.
Do you have an aspirin?
Right.
it was the beginning of that, or like, maybe I shouldn't eat pizza again today.
Right, the second time. I mean, it's like, I reached a point, maybe like at 27 or 28, where I was like, oh yeah, I need to start paying attention to the food that I eat.
That's where the body doesn't react as well as when you're young.
Yes. And now it's like, if I eat bad, I get dad body. I mean, not really, but...
After pregnancy effect.
I get a belly too. So then what happened after that? Like, how did you make it to Mysore? You know, like, give us the time gap in between, like, your first yoga class and you getting committed and kind of changing some of your life, and then to a spot where all of a sudden you're like, oh, I want to come to Mysore. How did that happen?
Then, so I had Natasha and Tim, and then that was that for 6 years. And then I met Kino. Kino is a great motivational speaker.
Yeah.
I remember that feeling leaving a class that she gave me some keys to be stronger and be a better person. And I was like, wow. And Kino also, one of the things that I really like about her teaching is that she see where your limits are. And so like, okay, let me rephrase that. You know, when you practice and you're like, okay, this is what I can do today.
Right.
This is my body, I know what I can do. And then she sees that you can do more. And then every single time she's going to push you behind that limit. Gotcha. Just enough without making you freak out.
Yeah.
But you're like, what are you doing? No.
This is outside my box.
Oh, I done it. And then you feel like $1 million. This is my favorite thing in the practice.
That's my favorite thing too.
It doesn't happen very often. When it happens, it's just like so amazing.
Yeah, when you can see the student, or you can see like in your own practice, like you can see that the edge is a little bit further than where you're capable.
And when you have a teacher that you like and you trust takes you behind that limit.
Yeah.
I think that just like there's nothing like it in life.
Yeah,
that is. And then so I explained that many, many times with Kino. And so then I did the workshop with her in Miami, and Lucas was there, you know, and Lucas is one of my best friends now.
Yeah.
And so that moment, it was like a very special moment. And then practicing every day with her in the Mysore room. And then at the end, she shared experience about Vipassana and about Mysore. And then I went to have dinner with Lucas. And Mark Garo too, you know Mark Garo.
Yeah,
and the three of us decided we were gonna go to Mysore the next season that day because of what she says.
Really?
Uh-huh. And wow. So the three of us have been really good friends since.
Yeah.
And we've been starting to go to Mysore. The politics in the West Coast, East Coast is a little different.
Right.
Nobody says anything negative about Charaji in the West Coast, but nobody ever pushed me or motivated me to go there.
Yeah, to push into.
Because you're like the way things are seen is like you have Tim Miller here. Why do you need to go see somewhere else? You know.
Yeah.
But I'm very thankful Kino did that, because it really like coming to my soul is really a blessing.
Yeah, it is a blessing.
And so that's how it happened.
So do you see yourself maybe like going into like a teaching role eventually or no?
I don't know if I can say that. I did some teacher training. Maybe let's don't say that. I don't want to get in trouble. I've assisted Tim Miller in Kino.
Okay.
Like once or twice, and Natasha also a few times. And I enjoy myself a lot doing it.
Yeah. Do you like, but
I don't know the counts.
Okay. I mean, but do you enjoy behind the camera more than you enjoy?
Let's just say that keep me so busy that I don't have like so much free time where I'm like, oh, maybe I could do this with that, you know? But I would enjoy it. If it comes to me, I would like to investigate that.
Well, I mean, it's bound to come. I mean, I feel like, you know, authorization and really being in Mysore, I mean, there's very few people who have as bright a light as you. You know what I mean? Like, there, you know, when you just were talking about the hate, like saying hate all the time, I don't feel like, you need to not say that, because like you always have a smile on your face, you know, and maybe that's what Natasha was telling you. And so I feel like it's almost inevitable for you to end up teaching, because, you know, we need people that are sharing the light to a certain extent.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, it comes through in your photography and your film, you know, all of this stuff. And I think it's important, you know, especially in these times where I feel like we need more good people than, you know, more good people than the bad people, if you know what I mean. So yeah, one day you're going to be teaching, I promise you.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit about... let's talk a little bit about your photography and your videography and stuff like that, or filmmaking. And so what do you like shooting the most? I mean, it sounds like yoga, but I mean, what makes a perfect shot or a perfect day of...
A perfect day of filming, it's someone that really, really enjoy being taking in being photo. This a perfect day of filming is someone that really, really enjoy being filmed. And then we're gonna have so much fun. I'm not gonna see the time pass.
Yeah.
The person doesn't even need to have an advanced practice. It's just like someone, you're like seeing their smile, they're like, yeah, I'm taking pictures, this is so cool. And then I have the same experience in the other way, you know, and then I just like so much fun.
Right.
And then by taking pictures of yoga on the top of enjoying myself, I am giving a good message to the world. And that is just like, there's nothing like it. It's the biggest blessing.
Yeah, it is a blessing, for sure. I, you know, for all the listeners out there, I told Agatha that I wanted to do pictures, but I told her that I didn't want to do them, but I felt like I had to do them. And so I'm not one of the people that she's talking about. Although when I get into photo shoots, usually it clicks over a little bit, but I'm a little resistant going into it. And so let's continue the conversation with like your art, your videography. Like, you know, tell us some of the people that you have actually done stuff for.
Well, Kino is maybe the person I've photographed the most in my life.
Got it.
And she's amazing to work with.
Of course. I mean, she's probably easy.
Yeah.
Because she's good at all. Really good at all.
She's good at everything. She always looks very good. She's photogenic. She also have a very good idea what she wants and what she needs. And it's just a lot of fun. Like, many, many times I was like, I can't believe this is my job.
Taking pictures of Kino.
Yeah. And then La Ruga is amazing to take pictures with. I really like her. I wish we could encounter each other more often, because I would love to take a picture way more often than I do.
Yeah.
She's really cool. I really like to take pictures of Dani too.
Yep.
I just did recently. She's so awesome. And then yesterday I practiced next to her, and that is so magical too.
Yeah.
That's my soul magic. I like to think about coming to practice here as the Olympic training of yoga, because I don't think there's any place in the world that does such an intense practice.
Yeah, and it's and also deeply devotional too. Like, you can feel the devotion, spirituality.
In this, I like, I privilege the sport side of it by saying that, but there's a dedication. Olympic athletes, they don't have a life because they only do that.
Right.
And so this is what I'm trying to highlight with that. Like, we give up our life for 2 months, and then we wake up in the middle of the night, and the practice is so intense. and then the really cool thing about this is that you can practice randomly next to a gold medal athlete.
Of course.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like, if you keep my imagery, there's no way where you did it. No other like activity that you can do that.
It's true. I mean, there are so many gifted people, you know, even right now, which, you know, right now, June, there's not a lot of people here.
No.
And so, like, even with not a lot of people here, there's like some very gifted people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Randomly, you can have the chance to practice next to them. And that's just so inspiring. If I'm really tired and I practice next to Dani, I'm going to have awesome practice anyway. It's like, it's overflowing on my mat. I can't explain it.
I was talking to her yesterday, and I was just like, you know, just watching, there's a dance quality to how she practices. It's pretty amazing.
You can see a lot of the personality of the people in the practice.
Of course.
By taking pictures, I can tell a lot about someone in the first 10 minutes. Just the way the person unrolled the mat.
Yeah.
In the sun salutation, I can see they're stressed out. I can see a lot of things about their personality right away.
I mean, that's the same as teaching too. Watching from that aspect as well.
You have that.
You're seeing it with a camera, but we're seeing it from like bird's eye view of being in the Mysore room.
And then you have a very elegant practice. La Ruga. I like to say La Hoga have a Calvin Klein practice. It's very pure minimalist.
Yeah.
Very like they, she doesn't move a little finger, and not the way it's supposed to be. It's just like.
Yeah.
I really like watching La Hoga's practice.
Yeah, she has amazing lines in her practice. Like if you watch her, you know, or if you look at your photography, you see the lines of her body. Or it's just. You know, it's unreal. Yeah. Straight lines.
And then Kino too, like mm-hmm. it's just so, yeah, I love myself for that, because you can be next to people who have such such an advanced practice.
Yeah.
And then talk to them and experience the whole thing better.
And so do you feel like you're living your passion?
Absolutely.
How did you get here? Or sometimes you have to pinch yourself and be like, How did I get to do this?
It's hard. It's really hard because everybody is visiting, or like they're like, oh, I'm so bored today. I am never bored. I sometimes work until 12 or 1 in the morning with touching pictures. Then I sleep 2 hours, go to practice.
Come back and sleep.
Sleep some more, and then we touch more pictures, go on a shoot.
So you're working.
Like it's hard to maintain the boat.
Yeah.
You know, and every once in a while there's a Monday or the off, and I just sleep to catch up on my sleep, and then I go back to this thing. And
my dad always said, like, you have to strike when the iron is hot.
Exactly.
And that's like, it sounds like that's what
exactly.
you're doing.
Like, this is your prime time. I'm aware that things need to be done in order to keep doing what I do right now and have that type of lifestyle. And there's the price to pay, and that's what it is, a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a little bit by, like burning the candle at both ends.
So I'm trying to manage that and try to listen to my body more, and then when do I need to stay in and sleep and do things like that.
Yeah. You feel like you're able to take care of yourself even though you got all this stuff coming
That's
up?
Something I had to learn, because I didn't used to do that very well.
Yeah, I feel like this is a thing that I had to pick up too, because I travel a lot with all of my teaching, and yeah, it seems like, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you just are mm-hmm. unable to do the practice.
And then how can you show a good example about
of course
yoga practice if you can't even take care of yourself?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how the practice has kind of made you into a like kind of a different person, and like what it means to have a teacher and all of these things. And so let's go down, let's start with, what does the practice give you on a daily basis that keeps you coming back? You know, so like talking like a little bit deeper of the questions, like instead of like background and history and what you're currently doing, like what, why is the practice like inspire you to come back all the time?
I feel like I'm addicted to the good feeling of after the practice. So I will say that's the number one thing, because the practice impacts the overall sensation of the rest of my day. And I'm gonna be more efficient at work and all those kind of things. That's the number one thing. And then I just enjoy the practice so much.
Yeah. I mean, but what happens if you have a bad practice?
Okay,
I mean,
there's some crappy
you?
Day where you're like, I don't wanna be here today.
I mean, I have these all the time. I mean, I'm sure you have them too.
Yeah.
But I mean, does that affect your work too?
No, because the day is gonna be better anyway, because even if I have a crappy practice in the morning, then that would be a better day than a day without the practice, for sure.
Yeah. And so, but specifically, like, why does the Ashtanga work for you? You know, is it, it's the only other style that you've ever learned? Never learned anything else?
I did a couple of Bikram class, but I almost passed out, and I was like, oh, what is this? And then the girl was saying something, and I was like, what is she saying? And she like look at me like, I say it once, I say it twice, I say it 3 times, don't listen.
She's yelling at
me. I'm going to yell that. Like, okay, English is my second language. I have no clue what you're yelling at me.
For Bikram, this is like, lock your knees, or they say some funny stuff like
and,
that.
And that, and you find all the things they said about Bikram himself.
Right.
Like, I never met him, but you're like, okay, it's not something that I feel drawn to start with, you know.
And so why does it work? I mean, why is this one work better than that one?
I don't know, because I don't have any element of comparison other than just going at the gym.
Yeah.
If I compare that, I think Ashtanga yoga works better than a simple workout or running at the gym, because for each pose, you have the right side and the left side, and the counter pose, right side and left side. So you work out your body so evenly that it's just like so smooth, and then you work muscles that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And I know that in Shavasana, I feel like my legs are buzzing. It's just because
my whole body's gone. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Because the blood flow is going places that it is not used to go to. And the good feeling you have after like a 30-minute jogging, well, you take that and you multiply at least by five, and that gives you the good feeling of after a good practice. For sure, at least that's how I experience it.
And so why do you need a teacher? Why specifically do you need a teacher?
Because you need guidance. Because Ashtanga is more than the physical practice. And when...
What do you mean by more?
Well, I went to the practice because of the physical aspect, for sure. And the spiritual aspect came in after. And it's very helpful to have a guide when you enter that zone of spirituality. Like when Kino recommended me to do Vipassana, it was a transformative experience for me. And I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna do Vipassana. And then she did it in Kathmandu. I'm like, okay, she's my teacher. Let's go in Kathmandu, do that there. and I went there.
That's where you went?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was amazing. It was amazing. And so you kind of need someone who walked that path a little bit before you to like be like, okay, if you have difficulties with this, well, you should keep trying, or you should try this or that. It really helps to have a guide.
Yeah.
I have another teacher that I really like is Dina Kingsburg.
Oh yeah.
I try to go see her once a year in Australia as much as I can. She's amazing too.
I've met her here as well. She was here with her husband. Well, so why do you think practitioners around the world need to have teachers? Not just you specifically. Why do you feel like other people need teachers?
To keep the purity of the method, because even when you do your Mysore practice, sometimes you might nonchalantly add a little details that are not supposed to be there, and it's good to have someone to keep you on track. Just like we have to do leg class.
Yeah.
Just to make sure we have the rhythm and make sure we keep it correctly, you know? So then after the Mysore practice is that much better, I think. If you only do Mysore practice, there's something that's going to get diluated.
Yeah, it feels like you just kind of go a little bit slower or something, or you're kind of off tempo a little bit.
You get slower more on your own pace, but if you only do that, then you're going to have like a grandpa practice, I guess, after a while, right?
Yeah.
You don't hold the five breath really. You take your time in between the pose.
You know? I mean, I've been taking my time with all the poses too, because it's so hot. It's really hot in there right now. Do you like the hot?
I like that.
Yeah, it's a bit much for me. Those blinds weren't always there.
I know.
And now they are there, and they're shut.
And he makes sure that he shut them all.
Haze. And so no wind. I'm like overheating, you know, and then all the... You know, India is amazing because of the spirituality, but it's also, there's a lot of pollution too. And so like, I feel like I always get like some sort of ear, nose, throat thing that happens and makes it harder to practice. Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
You're good with that? Yeah. Yeah, I've been struggling in there. So what pose do you struggle with?
Oh, I have one very, very special pose. Is called a Kapadeshasana. I've been stuck at that pose for 6 years, almost seven.
6 years.
On 8 years of practice. Is
one leg behind the head, been stuck there.
What happened is I have a very open back, so I went through the second series with Kapadeshasana, like boom, 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 okay, next, and then boom, Ekapada. And that just doesn't go well for me. And at home, I pass the pose and I'm at Maryasana right now. Yeah. But in my story, it's like where I am.
Yeah,
and then, and I totally understand why I'm not passing it, because it looks like crap. When I go practice to a different shala and I'm I'm doing it really poorly, but I keep on going. I'm like, oh, those people must be so
hopefully
poorly.
They're not judging me.
Yes, I almost want to go explain, okay?
It's like when that's when that shallow teacher comes over and they're like, who's your teacher?
Yeah.
I want to know who let you go past
exactly.
That
post. Or sometimes you see people who like go way far what they were supposed to go, and I'm like, am I one of those people?
This is kind of like what Mysore, you know, in Mysore, India, this is kind of what we do here, but it's not always like the prescription of how other people, you know, use the practice. I mean, some people let the whole second series be done, even though that Dwipada or something like that.
Exactly.
And Tim does that a little bit, like how he delivers the practice is a little bit more free.
Tim, not really. Tim Miller doesn't really push you to get a new pose. I have friends who told me, I went to see him and say, hey, can I have a new pose? He's like, oh, really? You want a new pose? My friend was like, I've been waiting for this. No, what he does, he used to, he doesn't anymore. He used to do lead second series. And I think that was an amazing thing because he allowed you to get a modification for the poses you have a hard time.
Yeah.
But outside the Ekapada and Dwipada, the rest I'm kind of okay, especially the headstand and all this, I'm kind of okay. So he was helping me with that class building endurance. And so when you do this class regularly, then when you, in your Mysore practice, when you do up to where you're supposed to, you feel stronger and much, much better. And he's the only one who did this. People are scared to teaching that class like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I think teachers are afraid to be, it's okay, you can do modification. Like, for example, when you take that class with Tim and you cannot do Dwipada, he said, do Supta Komasana. Something kind of vaguely related.
Right.
You know, and Tim, I think Tim is like, come play with me. Let's go do yoga.
Yeah.
Let's go have fun, huh? It's a lot of love, and let's all do yoga and enjoy ourselves. I think that's how Tim takes it. Unless you do something really like out of place, like flying dragon or those kind of weird poses.
The funny thing is like my experience with Tim is that he was the first teacher to ever come to Columbus, Ohio and do a workshop. And so I did his workshop, you know, he came like 10 years in a row. I think I probably did 8 of them or something like that. And so he had a heavy influence on like starting the Columbus Mysore community. So it was really cool to kind of see him like when I was 27 doing yoga, you know.
Because, he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because he's almost like a dad figure to a certain extent. I mean, I didn't get to know him well enough he remembers my name, which is amazing. But I never spent a huge amount of time with him, but still, like, he was able to give the qualities of the practice that I strive for today, you know, like kind-heartedness and loving and, you know, like being open and honest
and devotional
and all of these things that, you know, today, that's what I'm trying to show my kids.
A lot of love, and I think he is okay with modification because it's a form of acceptance.
Of course. You know,
like my body cannot do that, but it's okay. We still love you. Come play with us, and
then we're
going to find something for you to do. As long as you know this is not the correct thing.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that. But also, he can do it because he's Tim Miller.
I know.
If you take a random teacher who does that, we're going to be like, okay, I need to talk to you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's such a difference from how we're learning here, compared to that. I mean, both has its positives and negatives and all of that stuff. But
I think a lead second series was very, very helpful for me.
Because of the rhythm and because of the modifications.
For the same reason than the primary lead is helpful.
Yeah, I think it's important as well. Me learning it here and when Sharat's on the road, I think it's important for me too. It's also one of my favorite classes.
Me too.
Yeah. So hard, but it's also so exhilarating too.
Because I'm stopping at Ekapada, it's not hard at all because I'm practicing.
You're practicing super short. You're like, no, I don't want to go home yet.
Secondary lead is really easy.
I never thought about that. You guys totally get a...
I stopped right before I start to get like nightmare, you know, no titibhasana, no kavandasana.
I know, your legs aren't shaking or kronavasana.
Yeah, it's just right before things start to turn.
Right. It's like right before the gauntlet, you know, it's like, or the start of the gauntlet, it's like the hardest part of the practice. You're like, All right, I'm going to go do my back bend.
This was just a warm-up.
Right.
Okay, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, man. The practice teaches us so much about our body's limitations. Mm-hmm. And so being stuck at a pose for 6 years, I mean, how have you stayed motivated during that time?
I had time of like, I'm depressed. I see like people who started after me passing me, you know, that is, doesn't always feel good.
No, that doesn't.
And then Dina was very helpful with that because she told me, yeah, people tell you to not care and all this, but I totally understand that you care because you spend time every day to better yourself at this. And then even if you see progress all around, you're still stuck there. So she gave me some little tricks to start to make it better. And then she's the one who started giving me extra pose. And she's like, I'm giving you Dui Pada, not because you're proficient in Ekapada, but because I believe it will help you Ekapada.
Yeah.
And it's very true. And I'm at the same time, you know, like, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and then she gave me those pose when I needed them. And yeah, she was very, very helpful with that.
That's great. Well, I mean, I also think that, you know, the practice has this way of like kind of putting us in a place where we get this true reflection of like where we're at with our lives and also with our body. And sometimes it's humbling and it doesn't always feel good. And so it's nice when like someone's able to kind of give you those things to help you get to the other side
and,
of it.
And she's very, what is the right word? Not, I don't want to say difficult. She's very, I would say very strict is a better word. So if she told me I can have this pose, that mean okay, yeah. I'm cool. It's not like, she's not like loose about the way she gives poses. It's like, it's very meaningful. And so I'm like, okay.
Wow. If you got her right a path, like it's a right a passage, you're good. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so what about injuries? I know that, you know, I think the last time that I saw you, you said you were having some knee problems. Like how was things like with your knee?
Well, last November, I had knee surgery.
You tore a meniscus or?
No, nothing happened. One day I had my knee swollen. I could not wear heels anymore when I was going out dancing.
Oh, jeez.
And
shouldn't have been wearing those anyways.
I love wearing heels. You know, when you wear yoga clothes all the time.
I own
flip-flaps and high heels.
Flip-flaps and nothing in between. That's what happens when you live in Miami, I feel like. Flip-flops and high heels.
And so I was like, oh, what's going on? And then I couldn't do Lotus. Lotus never been a problem for me. And now I can barely do it.
Wow.
And so thanks to Obamacare, I had an awesome surgeon who was like sport orthopedic for Miami Heat.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really good. Like, it's one of the best in the country. And then I was able to afford that operation thanks to the leftovers of Obamacare.
Wow.
And
how's your knee doing in Mysore?
Well, I haven't had a really regular practice lately.
Okay.
And so I'm being patient. Now I'm practicing every day and I go all the way up to Ekapada, but I'm holding my head legs like this.
Okay.
I talk about it with, I saw Dave Robson before coming here, and I used to do a pigeon. And he's like, Agatha, what are you doing? You did not do this in my class. Would you do this with Sharaji? I'm like, okay,
sorry. Not, no.
And so I had a conversation with him where he told me you need to go see Sharaji, you need to tell him that you had a knee surgery. So like he's aware. Sometimes you don't really think about it, you know, because if I was taking your class and you're like, oh, something is wrong with your knee, we would have a conversation in the class.
Of course.
When you come to Mysore, you need to like...
Yeah, you have to make an appointment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or say it when you register, you need to have planned the thing. And so, yes, I made my plan with Dave. He told me what to do and give me advices, and that was very helpful. And so now, so like now I just do that. I hold my leg here.
Yeah.
Absolutely no pain. And I'm going to
do you think that the pain was caused by Ekapada?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No.
But it does, it hurts when you start to put it back there or?
It's just really, really stiff. I haven't tried yet.
Okay.
It's just right now the pain is in Janus Sasana. I cannot do the C and
wow.
A and B. I put my feet only to the knee level. And then, and when I go to do the forward, I cannot go all the way. I can feel like a really strong tension that is not pleasant.
So what was the knee surgery?
I had the outside ligament was too tight, and so I was overusing my kneecap.
Okay.
The cartilage on my kneecap, and I had arthritis on the inside.
Gotcha.
And so they cleaned up the arthritis and made the ligament a little bit more loose. So I was like, okay, then it's gonna go, because this leg is kind of decent, but the right leg is just like,
yeah.
And so I'm thinking that maybe when it'd be totally healed, maybe that was the reason why.
How long ago was this?
It happened in November.
Oh wow.
So I'm taking my time. Usually I'm someone very spontaneous. I want to do things right away. So I'm
you're
very proud of myself.
You want to do it now.
Yeah.
when you're given a pose, you want to do it today. You know,
exactly.
You want to do it right away.
And so I'm going to do this leg holding thing for like until one more week, and then I will do a test and see how it feels.
Well, how did the mind state get affected with like lack of practice and the injury?
I felt like I was cheating the word ashtangi, you know, because
guilt.
The pain was an excuse to not practice a lot. And that was a moment where I was having a lot of work and travels and everything combined. I'm like, oh, well, my knee is hurting.
I can't practice. Yeah.
And so I had a friend who back home will give me like a really short little practice advice. You can at least do that, you know. And so I was doing that three or four times a week. But in the 8 years I've been practicing, last year was the year where I've practiced the least.
Wow.
You know? And so I was like,
And then you come here and you have a shorter practice as a result too? I mean, are you doing half
So the effect of my surgery is that I told Shahaji that I had surgery. He's like, okay. And he's like, blah, 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 to Usha. Tell me anything, you know? And then I find out with my practice time that I've been downgraded from lead secondary to lead primary. So I'm like, And yesterday he asked me to add half primary, so I've done the split, you know, and then did only secondary, but now I'm regressing back to adding primary to it.
Oh, jeez.
So let's see. That's why I'm like, you better go behind my head next week.
Yeah, you're making deals with your right leg.
I'm talking to her.
Right. Well, it was so great to kind of like get to know you and kind of get to see what makes you tick and, you know, have this conversation with you. And I really appreciate you being on the show and giving everyone that look at the person behind the camera, because you really do beautiful work. And you know, if you're listening today, you can check her out on Instagram. It's iFilmYoga, Agatha Padovani.
Thank you so
she
much.
Has beautiful work on there, and so check her out, guys.
It's so sweet. Thank you so much.
Thanks
I'm honored
for being on the
to
show.
Be on this show with you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit AshtangaYogaColumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is TaylorHuntYoga.com. See you guys next time.